have to pick up all the prophetic actions, all the prophetic things that God's spoken over this weekend, because we don't want to just let them fall to the ground and think, oh, that's another word, that just happened. I've had a vision of an angel pouring these things out. That person had a picture of this. This person was healed. Because this weekend is going to be life-changing for all of us. And, you know, we may not notice it at this point in time, and you can say, well, you know, I don't feel it's changing my life, whatever. But down the road, you're going to look back, and this weekend is going to be significant for all of us. And it's up to us how significant we want that to be. So, you are the hope. Christ in you is the hope of glory. You are the hope of glory as individual people. And then as we rub alongside one another, then in that community and in that the spiritual atmosphere changing, then, you know, as a body of people, you are a changing influence. And I can see that over all of you. You all have a changing influence, an influence to be changed by the Lord, and an influence to change this nation and the nations of the world. You have to believe that our lives are going to make a difference. And I'm going to pick up on a few things that God just showed me during the worship that we need to reiterate this morning. So it's going to be a prophetic morning. And we're going to just wait on the Lord at the end for his glory to intensify upon us. So I forget your name. I'm terrible with names. I know faces, but Alice... Is that a good confession? No, I'm very good with names. This is Alice. And that's Chris. give me, God, all I need to remember names. Alice, I just want you to share that. And I think in song with the songs in the worship, we just need to take hold of what actually God's releasing.
I start off by saying one angel. And the angels I saw were multicolored. They were translucent as well, but they had colors that were shifting within them. And this angel was holding an urn in two hands, and pouring out of the urn it was like four in one. So it wasn't just one thing and then the next thing and the next thing, but it was all four things, but they were distinct. And it was coins, which I see as provision and prosperity, but also wisdom. And I don't know why that is, but I just do. And there was oil coming out, which is healing and restoration. And there was liquid gold, which was God's glory. And there was water for refreshment and also for healing as well. And just really, I believe that God is saying whatever you want is being poured out. And as I looked, there was a whole row of angels, and each one of them was holding an urn, and they were just flooding out, and they were holding them upside down, so that it was just like a torrent coming out. And as I said, I feel that this place is full up of all of those things.
So what we need to do now is to step into that, all right, in the supernatural. So I've called you here because I can see angels all in this middle place this morning. I mean, they're everywhere, but there's loads of them. Just like you're standing here, angels are standing here. And they're worshipping God, because angels worship God. And I really have this sense that he's releasing, as Alice shared, prosperity. You know, coins, gold coins, we just think of scripture with regards to paying the taxes, and Jesus said, we'll just go and get a fish, and in the fish's mouth will be this coin. So there's supernatural release of finance. Yes. But I believe more than that, prosperity, there's a release of prosperity. So that's not just money, it's prosperity in the natural, but also in the supernatural. Prosperity in our bodies, prosperity in every area, in our minds, in our intellect. There's just a growth of supernatural prosperity being poured out. I saw that godly wisdom is being released. So many of you have shared with me that you've been asking for wisdom. And it says in James, to ask for wisdom and you will get it. Jesus grew in wisdom, so we know that we can all grow in that gifting. It's one of the giftings that God mentions in Scripture. It's the first one he mentions in most places when he talks about the giftings, is the spirit of wisdom. And so we need to know how to have the wisdom to handle some of the other giftings. And the sevenfold spirit is wisdom, is in the sevenfold spirit. Wisdom was here before the foundation of the earth. Wisdom helped formed the foundation of the earth. Just bury yourself in Proverbs 1 to 8, particularly 1 to 9, and you'll see the revelation of wisdom being released, and wisdom brings forth finances too. The liquid gold for healing, there is a healing place here, as you've already shared, and God's going to heal backs completely today. So where there's any still any niggles that God's going to release that, release your spine. If you've not had prayer for healing for your back, then that's, God's going to heal that tonight, today in his glory. This year is going to be meaningful. It's going to be meaningful for you all. And that word is very strong when we grab hold of it, that it's meaningful. Our lives are going to be meaningful. This year is going to be meaningful in the fulfillment of our destiny. So I'm releasing these prophetic words over you. People are going to listen to you more, because they know you've been with Jesus. You remember the scripture where they could see that the disciples were unschooled men and this and that and that and that, but they listened to them because they could see they'd been with Jesus. And this is what's going to happen with you guys and you ladies here. People are going to listen to you. There's going to be more doors open for listening to what God is doing here in this place, but also in lives. And you're going to turn other people's lives around because of your life, and because of your witness, and because of your testimony, and because of who you are. I just would pick up on the prophetic word that... it's not Graham, is it?
Who?
Phil. Sorry, Phil. About emotions. But what I'm sensing is God is turning our emotions from the inside out, and it's not actually going to be painful at all. It's just going to happen. So whilst we've had all these emotions jammed up inside of us, he's just going to bring them straight out, and he's going to fill us up with his glory. And there's just been it. That's it. It's a new beginning. Forget the old, the former things. It's just going to be new beginnings this year for all of you. And he's just going to release those emotions supernaturally. I can see that, you know, and this is for all of us, because we all have stuff inside of us that God wants out of us. So it's not just this person or that person. It's all of us. And that song, you know, God is with you all the time. And sometimes we think, well, yeah, he may be with that person, or I can't feel that he's with me while I'm in this situation. And that could actually be, you know, me just preparing for a message. Where are you, Lord? And I think that we all need to be reminded that he is with us all the time. Just as we've had testimonies of the angels being with us all the time. They are the servants and the messengers of the Lord. They are to minister to the heirs of salvation. And that's what Scripture says. So while God is with us all the time, Jesus is with us all the time, the Holy Spirit is with us all the time, your angels are with you all the time. And it's a matter of trust. And we always need to keep asking the Lord, Lord, give me that gift of trust. That trust in you, that I believe, because out of trust comes belief that you are with me. And it's a trust step when we come into the kingdom, because, you know, we have to leave old ways behind and things like that. And sometimes it's scary because we want to hang on to the old. But actually, and Satan makes it a great big step, but actually it's a little step. We just have to say yes, and then God will do the rest. And everything is better than you ever dreamed or imagined it would ever be. And you think the old way, how you've been is great, and you're comfortable with that. But God is taking you out of that and showing you that his life and what he has for you is better. Because nothing compares to knowing him. And I know this from experience. And so I'm speaking from experience. Nothing compares with knowing God. He fulfills every need and desire that we have, and takes away what we don't need to have, and fills us with what we do need to have, to live a life that is fulfilling, life that's successful. As we go into this season, it's going to be victory to victory, where we've had a success to success, where we've had no success. you know, one sort of down thing can lead to another down thing, but God is turning that around so that you need to look for little successes in your life. And as you see one success, then it'll build another success, then you'll get victory, more victories, more victories. So there's a turning. I can see a huge turning, a huge shift for all of you. And, you know, I just love the way that we're giving testimonies, because it helps us to put a reality on who God is. It brings it real that this is happening to somebody that they're giving testimony that only God could do. You know, backs don't get healed when you've had a back problem for, you know, 20 years unless God heals your back. And so by giving testimonies, it's the reality of who God is. So just continually giving testimonies, and we'll move into having some more, because I know everybody here has a testimony from this weekend. And, you know, okay, you haven't actually perhaps got it in formation yet, but there is a testimony inside you. And we need to bring testimonies out, because through the test, there's a testimony. Through every test we have, there's a testimony of what God's done to bring us to the place that we are. And, you know, if he can do that for others, then you can dare to believe he's going to do it for you. And this is what we need to do. Is, can I dare to believe he's going to do it for me? And the answer is...
Yes!
And it's important, as we just thanked and praised God, that we do continually give him the glory. And give him the thanks and give him the praise. And as we do that, we're in that supernatural level, because we all know it's not about people. And as we grow and build in the supernatural level, then we realize it's not about people. It's all about God, and our focus changes. And that's why I don't always pray and lay hands on people. Friday was a little bit special, because I believe that God is the one that meets with you. And he meets in a more special way, a more brilliant way, than any human being can. And I think more and more people are realizing, as we're moving in the super app, can you feel the atmosphere changing as I'm just sharing? The heat in this room now, the fire of God has come into the room.
Send the fire, Lord!
Yes, already here. Send more, Lord. And we pray, you know, I think we need to recognize that God is already with us. So we're not so saying, Lord, we invite you here. He's already here. We need to be saying, we want more. More of your presence, Father. More of your manifest presence. Come upon us. Come and overwhelm us. Come and fill us. Come be around us. Just take us out of ourselves and into you, because he's already with us. So the normal prayers that we've prayed up to now, they all have to shift. And I'm not saying you pray normal prayers, but most of us pray normal prayers. And you know, I'm sure pray supernatural prayers here all the time. But that's the level that we all need to be rising up into. You can stay here, sit down, whatever. Claire's got some words to share.
I don't know anything about the structure of leadership here, but the number 3 is a very significant number. And I saw 3 key people in at the top, but it's not in a pyramid shape. It's in everybody at the same level. But the 3 key people who are the leaders are like a cord, 3 strands make a cord, and the cord can never be broken. And because of that, God has made you very, very strong. And I saw also that you were like the tribe of Levi. They were the priests, the high priests, and they were the three that at the top of the leadership. I see them as like David's strong, mighty men, and the leaders of the strong, mighty men. So I bless you with that word, and I believe that God is going to show you more about what that actually means. And the way that you lead is awesome, actually. It's with the people, for the people, and leading them to the safe place. The leadership is a very special brand of person here. And God recognizes that very strongly as a breed, a tribe that are at the forefront, right next to the Lion of Judah. So, Father, I bless that leadership. I bless them for their strength, Lord, and for the way they lead, the way that they lead in a godly way. And, Father, I pray that you would pour into them more strength, more ability in you, Lord, that will cause a revolution in this area. There is a revolution going on already. Revolution, and that is going to get stronger. So, bless you with that. Yeah.
Yeah, I sense the new church, which I see you as, and us as an Apostolic Resource Centre in Torquay, the leadership is a circle, like it is with us. It's not a pyramid, and I didn't really understand that when God sort of said that that's how we are. So at one point, one leader will rise up and do whatever they need to do, another time another leader will rise up, and we all honour each other, we work together, different ministries work together. And interesting, picking up on Mike's word with regards to, you know, five key people coming and pillars, and God is bringing people are moving to our area. But also Stephen Kazienko, who came recently from Holland, he said that we would be linked with five strategic churches. And also when I read the shack, I think on page 128, it talks about God, Jesus and the Holy Spirit being a circle. And I thought, oh, thank you, Lord, suddenly I can see it. And this is the church that God wants. It's a church within the walls, but outside of the walls. Because Jesus didn't say, stay ye in all the church. He said, go ye into all the world. And suddenly people are realizing that that's what actually should be happening on the earth today, is that we should be out there because people aren't coming in. They're coming in here because you're a church out there doing the stuff, and I bless you for that. And what I would love to encourage you to do is to pray for your leaders, the prayer in 1 Colossians 1, and it starts off at verse 9. And what we do is that people pray this, different portions each of it, for one little portion a day for 4 weeks. So you can split the actual prayer up into seven portions and then pray it over your leadership for 4 weeks, and you will see how the leadership change. Because you're praying scripture. There's nothing better than praying scripture than you know, yes, we use our own words, but to pray scripture is extremely powerful. So the prayer in 1 Colossians 1 from verse 9, I'm just going to read it, because you can pray this for one another too. So in, you know, House of Heroes, in your home groups, in whatever different setups you have here, because you're asking God. And it says, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God. So this is what you ask God for the first day, to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. That's all you pray for your leader for one day. The second day, which is verse 10, and to pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord. That's what you pray all day for your leader on day two. Day three, that he will please God in every way. Day four, that he will bear or she will bear fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. Day five, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. Day six, so that you may have great endurance and patience. Seven, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. Now, isn't that awesome words to pray for one another? Because that's what you want to be fulfilled in your life, and that's what you want the leadership to have on their lives. Because when we move inspirational revelation, there's no limits. If we move in, this is, you know, the level that we can all reach because leadership could have only reached that level, then that's the level that most churches ever reach is how far the leadership have gone. But when the leadership are open up to inspirational revelation and wisdom, they're opened up their hearts to know the knowledge of God's will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding, and that we pray that they'll live a life worthy of the Lord, then we're all going to live the same lives. Because it will cascade just as it does cascade from the Father.
The worship team, this is for you. Okay. When I saw you stood there, I had the word Genesis, and then I immediately thought of Phil Collins and all that really groovy good stuff, you know. But the Genesis, I believe, is the fact that you are a different breed. You're a new creation. It's a new sound that you have, and it's an important sound to the world, to the earth. And as you're declaring and singing and praising God through your worship, the earth is changing, the people are changing, the land is changing, the structure of it even is changing. Because you're a Genesis, you're a new breed, a new sound that's coming out. The earth needs that sound. There's a vibration coming out of the sound that you make that the earth needs to change. So I bless you guys with that word. And don't forget, you're a Genesis, you're a new thing. Okay, you're not going to be like anybody else, Phil Collins or Genesis or anything like that. You're a new thing, a new thing. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Thank you, Father. Yeah. The lady with the baby. Can I prophesy over your baby, please? Thank you. What's his name, Tommy? Yeah. Hello, Thomas. Tommy. Hello. Hello. I believe God has given you angels all around you, and people are going to come and be attracted to you, Tommy. Okay? Because they see the light that comes from your eyes, and they know that deep inside you, you have a promise for the world. You have a promise inside of you that only you can deliver. All right, and I know you're not understanding anything I'm saying, but I'm declaring it over you, Tommy, that you are the promise to the world. You carry a message deep inside of you that people want to hear, that need to hear, and the angels around you are the ones that are going to attract people to you. And you have a destiny on your life that will impact a people group so dramatically. You don't even know it, little boy, but you will change this world. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Tommy. Okay. You're special. Very, very special. Very special. He doesn't want to let go of my finger. That's so cute. It's so cute. Bless. That's good. Okay. For the worship group also, I believe that there are writers among you. And you're going to write new songs. And those songs will be proclaimed everywhere you go. And people will be healed when they hear the words and hear the music that goes with those words. And don't be afraid to just jot down what you think might be like, well, that doesn't make sense. It's going to make sense. It's going to come together. But just jot it down. Even if God wakes you up in the night, you need to jot it down. Write it down. Put it out there. All right? Also for 2011, I believe that God has lots of promises that need to be fulfilled for 2011 in each of you. There's a promise, okay, and it will be fulfilled this year. And alongside that also, there's inheritance. Not physical inheritance, but spiritual inheritance for each one of us that is going to be proclaimed during this year. God is going to proclaim his inheritance over you, and you're going to really, really get it inside you, you know. And this is the year. This is the year, inheritance and promises fulfilled. Thank you, Lord. And Chris, there's tremendous favor on your life. Tremendous favor. And I see that you're going to have that favor in very high places. And I know you told me a little bit about the things that you... Still looking at me. You told me a little bit about the things that you've done in your life and the favor that you've already experienced. And I know in my heart that you have favor with high places, with governmental officials. Favor that has never been seen before in this land, and it's because God has filled you with that favor already, and other people recognize the favor and they want some of that favor that you've got, and they believe that he's prophesying. They see that favor on you and they want some of that favor, and they believe if they align themselves with you, they're going to have that favor of God, and that favor will transform this place, because it's what you're carrying is so unique and so special to God that it's just going to flow from your fingers, flow from you. The favor that you've had already is just tremendous. It's huge, but it's going to be even bigger and more influence in higher authorities in this land. And so, Father, I bless Chris with that word, Lord, that favor on his life. And Father, I pray that you would give him more favor. Declare it over you now in Jesus' name, that you would have and experience more favor in this place in Jesus' name. Thank you. What's your name?
Kerry.
I see that you have an identity that is unique in God, and you're still trying to grasp hold of that identity, that God is showing you bit by bit every day what your identity is in him. And as you become more and more familiar with who you are, with your identity in him, he's going to lead you to places that you wouldn't even think of going. And you're going to have influence with other mums and with other children in this area that in a way that it's just going to be an everyday thing, but it's more than that. It's being naturally supernatural in an everyday way that will impact life. So your identity is important. Who you are in Christ is important, and he's showing you more and more of that. So bless you, Kerry. In Jesus' name.
Remember that Thomas was a person that doubted, and Jesus said that blessed are we who have not seen. We're even more blessed, as it were. And Thomas actually planted more churches in India than any other churches. So we bless that on Thomas, that he will be a church planter. I want to pick up too on this year of fulfillment of promises, because in a way it's 2011. We're looking at Deuteronomy 1:11 and Deuteronomy 11:11 and 12, the key scriptures for this year. And I'm just going to pray see it, really, and speak it over you. May the Lord God of your fathers make you 1,000 times more numerous than you are, and bless you as he's promised you. But the land which you cross over to possess is a land of hills and valleys, which drinks water from the rain of heaven, a land for which the Lord your God cares. The eyes of the Lord your God are always on it, from the beginning of the year to the very end of the year. And I'm sensing with all this rain and all this water that this really is almost a confirmation that this is a year of promises being fulfilled. So we're moving into those times. And it's a time for praying for revival and a time to be praying for a real awakening. God showed me key to the throne room, and it's very, very simple, and it's one that I use all the time. And it's just speaking out, your thoughts, Lord, your ways, Lord, your words, Lord, your will, Lord. And that is pure scripture, taken from different scriptures. That's all the prayer we need to pray. So when our thoughts are not right, we just say, your thoughts, Lord. And straight away you'll find there's a shift. The thoughts you had have gone. Every day when we need to make decisions, just say, your will. Your will be done today, Father. Your ways. Make my ways your ways, Lord. So when you're struggling with what may come out of your mouth, just say, Lord, your words. And you'll find those wrong words, negative words disappear and the good words come out. Amen? I also want to speak over you that I really sense that you're like the sons of Issachar. Sons of Issachar are mentioned several times in Scripture, but the one that we mostly know is 1 Chronicles 12:32. They were men of Issachar who understood the times and knew what Israel should do. And so that's what we quote the most of. They were the sons of Issachar. Issachar was the fifth son of Jacob, and his mother was Leah. But I really sense that you are people that know the seasons and know the times and also know what you should do. As a result of their knowledge, these guys and yours, and the judgment that they provided, they provided help to David. They were the fewest of them all. There were only 200 of them. But they were of so much service to David, that so much as the bigger numbers that came to help him. They were men of great skill. They knew more than their neighbours. They understood the natural seasons, the natural times. They could discern the weather by the skies, could advise their neighbours for the proper times to plough and the proper times to reap. I just want you to receive these words, because this is what I sense over you people also, that you understand the times and the seasons. They were men that understood what was happening in the nation and were able to make decisions and appropriate what their skills that they had to bring forth the right things to happen in the nation. They knew the ceremonial times, the times appointed for the solemn feasts. Therefore, they are said to call the people to the mountain. They assisted Deborah. Moses blessed them. And he joined them with Zebulun, and he prophesied over them, rejoice, Zebulun, in your going out, and you, Issachar, in your tents. They will summon peoples to the mountain, and there offer sacrifices of righteousness. They will feast on the abundance of the seas and on the treasures hidden in the sand. God is revealing treasures to us that are buried in the land. You remember that in Matthew, Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like... And it's like a man who found treasure buried in the field, and he went away and bought the field. And you always think, well, why on earth didn't he just take the treasure with him? Why take the risk of waiting and then just buying the whole field? But of course, it's the time and the season, and the treasure needed more than just being brought up. It needed to influence the field. He needed to buy the field. A lot of you may have a sense that you should be buying a field, and I think this is a year that you should be buying a field. No, you know, it's interesting, but it's very important. Fields are very important to the Lord, and he wants us to do that. So here we see that the blessings of Zebulun and Issachar were put together, for they were both sons of Jacob, and by their lot in Canaan they were neighbours. And Moses is here blessing them by saying that they should both have a comfortable settlement and employment. Zebulun must rejoice, or he would have reason to rejoice in his going out, either to war or to sea. But you can see, as they were neighbours, that when the seas were probably rough, then they would spend time together in the tents of Issachar. And then when they went out, they would come back and report to Issachar as they sat around with that tribe and report what was happening worldwide. So that you can see the value of those two tribes being put together. So Issachar would rejoice in his tents, that is, in his business at home, his farming, to which the men of his tribe were known, because they saw rest was good and important, and when the sea was rough, the land was pleasant. Both were prophesied over that they would be rich. Praise God. And they were allotted land, which is interesting in light of what I've just said. They were all allotted land. Got another interesting bit here somewhere. Scripture that is important. This is they were blessed by Jacob. He blessed his sons and told them what will happen to them in days to come. And he prophesied that Issachar is a strong donkey lying down between two saddlebags. When he sees how good is his resting place and how pleasant is his land, he will bend his shoulder to the burden and submit to forced labour. And that's not forced labour, that's labour that we have to do every day. And I really sense this is for you, Chris, because they had the discernment to know when to put their hands to work, and when they knew the discernment as to when to lie down between the two saddlebags. So I just release that, because it's important that we get the balance between rest, because in the rest we're strengthened, in the rest we get strategies, and in the rest we can't function properly if we're overtired. We can't hear the Lord properly if we're overtired. So there's always a balance in our day that God will allow us to have, but we have to learn to do that. And God is going to teach you how to do that, I sense. And for all of you that feel that you're working too hard, God is going to release a strategy for you so that you lay down between two saddlebags. Amen. Another scripture that I want to release over you is Revelation 10. God has revealed this to me in several different ways, and I just want to release it over you. Paul Keith Davis, who hopefully is coming to us again this year, has an amazing revelation of the coastal areas, and you being on the coast as well as we are. You know, it's the coastal regions that God is using, are going to be using mightily in these days. So just receive as I speak this scripture over you, because it has so much meaning in it that God will reveal to you the full meaning of the whole thing. It's headed up the angel and the little scroll. Then I saw another mighty angel coming down from heaven. He was robed in a cloud with a rainbow above his head. His face was like the sun and his legs were like fiery pillars. He was holding a little scroll which lay open in his hand. He planted his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land. So here we have a kind of symbolism of Zebulun and Issachar. And he gave a loud shout like the roar of a lion. When he shouted, the voices of seven thunders spoke. And when the seven thunders spoke, I was about to write. But I heard a voice from heaven say, seal up what the seven thunders have said and do not write it down. Then the angel that I'd seen standing on the sea and on the land raised his right hand to heaven, and he swore by him who lives for ever and ever, who created the heavens and all that is in them, the earth and all that is in it, and the sea and all that is in it, and said, there will be no more delay. But in the days when the seventh angel is about to sound his trumpet, the mystery of God will be accomplished, just as he announced to his servants the prophets. Then the voice that I'd heard from heaven spoke to me once more. Go, take the scroll that lies open in the hand of the angel who is standing on the sea and on the land. So I went to the angel and asked him to give me the little scroll. He said to me, take it and eat it. I will turn your stomach sour, but in your mouth it will be sweet as honey. I took the little scroll from the angel's hand and ate it. It tasted as sweet as honey to my mouth. But when I'd eaten it, my stomach turned sour. Then I was told, you must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, languages, and kings. Amen. What God is saying here is that he's releasing these little scrolls, and these little scrolls are revelation. And once you receive the revelation, you eat it, as it were, and while you keep it inside you, it's feeling bitter and it's feeling horrible. But once you speak it out, then it's like honey is coming out of the rock. Honey's coming out, liquid oil. The angel's pouring out here is pouring out as you prophesy and as you speak out what God is showing you, because the mysteries of heaven are being released on the earth today. Things that have been hidden for thousands of years are being released on the earth today. There's a correlation between the Song of Songs and Revelation. Those are the two books that God is revealing the secrets of at this time, because it's a relationship of the bride with the Father and the revelation of what God is doing on the earth today. And we're in those seasons. The two go together. The intimacy, the bride of Christ coming into the fullness of who she is on the earth today. And there'll be no more delay. God just woke me up one night and said, there will be no more delay. And I didn't know where it was in Scripture. So, you know, I found it and this is it. And then we'd already blown the trumpet. And, you know, never sort of realized the fullness of all of that. But we already felt to blow the trumpet. And, you know, I really feel this is for you as well. So let's stand, shall we? So, Father, we want to just hear that voice that says, go take the scroll that lies open in the hand of the angel who's standing on the sea and on the land. And, Father, we know that we've seen that angel in our area, Father, and I just ask that you release that angel of revelation, that angel that holds the scroll, that you produce the trumpet sound that declares the promises of you, that declares that this is a new beginning, that brings forth that sound in the earth that resonates throughout the earth, that you're calling your people into the mountain, Father, to offer up sacrifices, to offer up praise, to offer up their lives afresh to you. So, Father, summon the people that you want to surround the people here, Father, that will be this networking that enables us all to be released into the fullness of all that you have. I pray, Father, for fresh revelation as the scrolls are opened. Father, open the scrolls that are already in our hearts. Ian Clayton talks about that we made destiny promises with Jesus before the foundation of the world, that within each one of us, until we come in line with our destiny, that scroll that's in our innermost being is not being allowed to open. So we say today, Father, whatever decisions we made in the fullness that was going to produce the fullness of our destiny, that we agreed in covenant relationship with Jesus before the time began, when wisdom was the foundation of the earth, Father, that you enable us to open up that scroll that's within us, that we can read and appropriate that destiny that we have, so that we're in covenant relationship with you, Jesus, in a real way, and that we make destiny steps, Father, to fulfill what's been written on our individual scrolls, that you open up that scroll, give us a revelation into our hearts of what you have for each one of us, that we may speak it out, that we may make that sound on the earth, that each word that we speak out has substance and another life will be changed, that one word to one person will change our life. And Father, we just ask this in Jesus' name, and we just invite you, Father, to have your way amongst us. We thank you, Father, for the release of all these promises, release of all these prophetic words, Father. Any of these words are not of you, Father, I ask that they fall to the ground, but those that are of you, Father, that we grab hold of these scrolls now in Jesus' name, and that we run with them. It says, await the appointed time in Habakkuk 2 that we spoke about. As you write it down, as you receive the revelation, wait the appointed time and run. In Jesus' name. Amen. Woo! Would the worship team like to come back? And I just would like some more testimonies while the worship team just do that. And then we're going to invite God to come and fill us afresh with his glory. But I just know there's somebody burning, at least three people, with a testimony that I haven't shared. So if those three people would like to come, then, you know, we can worship and the glory come. Amen.
Just want to share, well, I've had lots of things happen this weekend. I can't share them all, but one of the things I've seen right through the weekend is a picture of this building. And I've seen a picture of the building from the outside, standing outside. And I saw actually the name Freedom over the whole of the building, not just our half of it, but the other half, which also belongs to us in the spirit realm. But actually, I saw a new entrance to the building, and it was actually in front of the building. There was a whole new, like a foyer, which was built on. And the gates or the doorway to it was a doorway of fire. And as I stood there, it was like I was going backwards, and another doorway of fire appeared, and another doorway, and another doorway. And it was like I was seemed to be moving. But actually what I realized was I actually hadn't moved, but these doorways were actually within me. And from right into my innermost being, there were doorways that are going to be opened, and they're all doorways of fire. And it's not just for me, but actually a lot of what God is going to reproduce and fulfill in us starts on the inside and actually works its way out. And I saw just these doorways of fire and doorways of fire leading up to basically a doorway of fire, which was for the whole building, which was a testimony I want to release and a word I want to release from that. And also this morning, while we were, everyone was standing here in the middle, and Sue was talking and Claire was talking, I actually saw over everybody doves, and the doves were hovering over people. And the doves in their beaks, some doves had like a laurel wreath, like the laurel wreath that the Olympians who won the Olympic Games were given. And I really felt that, and I saw them being placed on people's heads. And it was basically saying, you are a victor. You are victorious. You are triumphant. You are an overcomer. And they were placed on heads. And for others, there were crowns. And most of what I saw, and I know there are lots of crowns mentioned in Scripture, and you know, I've got quite a lot of them myself, and I've talked to you about some of them that we all need to get hold of. But actually, these were crowns of glory. And these doves had crowns of glory that they were placing on people's heads. And it's just before that I then saw they all started to be on fire. There were flames coming out of the laurel leaves and the crowns. And then Sue started to say, actually, you know, the fire of God is here, and it is. And it's to do with the glory of God. And when it's a crown on our head, it is who we are. It's our identity. You know, this laurel wreath is our identity. It's who you are. You are victorious. You are overcomers. And you are crowned with glory and crowned with glory and honor. So I want to just release that to you and just receive, as we worship, receive that and allow the fire of God to come and cement that on you. It's almost what I saw, the fire was almost like fusing it to you so that it was yours, that you knew who you were. Okay.
My testimony starts kind of Thursday when, was it Thursday you came over to Crosscombe, Chris? Yeah. Was it Thursday or Wednesday? I kind of been really flat with God for a bit because I just got really tired. And I kind of made a few decisions, sort of repented of a few things, and decided to, you know, to move out from Crosscombe and go back home and sort that out and get some time for myself and get my life in order. And I had this telephone call from a lady in, where was it? Where is it you're from, Angie? Reading. And she was asking about Angie, and she prayed for, she said, can I pray for you? I said, yeah, you can pray for me. And she prayed for me down the phone, and I was just broken on the phone, because she doesn't know me, she doesn't know anything that was going on, and she just prayed right into my situation, and that kind of thing just really touches me, because she doesn't know me from Adam, and it just, I knew it was Abba just going, come on girl, just hold on a bit longer, you're going to get some breakthrough, just, it's all going to be alright, stop fretting, you're going to get there. And I know, then I put the phone down, I was sobbing on the phone,
Oh, thank you, Lord. I really needed that touch. And then I'd been trying to get some alone to get back into my house, because when I moved out of my house, I gave everything away. I gave my washing machine, everything away and stuff like that. So I was trying to get alone. I got alone, and then I saw the interest on it, and I thought, can't do that. And then God came through with something else. So I feel really blessed, and I feel like God's taken me to another level. I'm just trying to process. I know I'm going to process more as I just go home and chill and get my stuff sorted out. And I want to get back to CrossFit. I love CrossFit, but not 24/7. I love it. It's who God's made me to be. It's what I'm alive to for. But there's a balance, and I've got to find that balance. And I feel empowered. I feel like a door's opening for me, and I've just got to keep walking in it. I went to CrossFit, a non-smoker. I'm leaving a non-smoker. I went with my head held high, and I'm leaving with my head held high. And I'm looking forward to the future, and I just want to honour all my leaders. I love you. You're just awesome. Merch, where are you? Thank you for everything. Thanks for sticking by me through it all. I know I'm hard work sometimes, Chris. Mandy, I know you're not here. Debs, Mike, I don't know. Thanks. I just feel like I'm really stepping over something now, new ground.
Got this little break. I just want to give you the anointed notice, which is tomorrow night at 7, we've got the prophetic team, so you've got an awful lot to pick over tomorrow night. Should be a great time. That's tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, so I encourage you to be at that. I just want to encourage you, as we worship, if you want to bring your tithes and offerings as a honouring God, as giving God first place in our life, then I just encourage you to do that as an act of worship, of giving. You know, God wants all of us. You know, he's not just wanting some money. He wants every bit of our lives. You know, he wants it all. Because when we give it him all, he's actually got it to use. And we were singing this morning about giving our life to him so that he can use us for his glory. And that's just one step. So please feel free to bring your tithes and offerings, and just honour God in that way. And come, if those are sowing different things, come in faith, with words that accompany what you bring. Don't just sort of, I'm tossing some money in the basket. Come with words of faith. It's like when we honour God with our tithes and offerings, he opens the windows of heaven and pours out a blessing and rebukes the devourer. So if things are devouring things in your finance, come with words that go with Malachi 3, and actually come, I'm opening the windows of heaven and the devourer is going to be rebuked. If you're coming looking for sowing into the kingdom of God for a harvest, I know some of you have been sowing specifically for different things. Come and actually with those words that accomplish what you bring, you sow. And the faith that's in those words goes with what you do as an action, and it releases God to bring 100-fold or more return. Now, some of you are looking for more than 100-fold return, because we've got a lavish, overcoming God. We want more. Okay, so let's be really open in that way to bring and to sow into the kingdom of God. It's been fantastic what we've received this weekend, and it's going to take a while for all of us to draw that on. Everything's been recorded, so we've got everything recorded. All the prophetic words are recorded. I don't know exactly who they all go to yet, because I haven't gone back and listened to them all, but actually we will try and either put them on discs, so that the prophetic words are there for the people who receive them, or we'll get some of it transcribed if we can, okay? So that everyone can get what they've received. Because sometimes when the presence of God is there and God speaks, it goes into your spirit, but you can't always remember. And sometimes we need to war on the words that we've been given. We need to stand on them, and therefore it's good to have the words so that we can go back over them. So when it says write them out, then you can go to war on those words and stand firm on them. So we will try and get as many of the words that we've got and been given over the weekend. And those who've received words individually that haven't been recorded, I'd encourage you, write down as much as you can possibly get on paper and keep them as a record. Because then when the fulfillment comes, you can say, yes, God, you fulfilled that word. You fulfilled your promises. Amen? Amen.
Just a quick one, really. As you know, debt problems, that sort of thing, which finally sorted, thanks to God.
Yeah.
I'm done that. Now debt free. Along with that, after a year of having no contact with my mother at all, we've spoken twice on the phone now, and actually about half an hour each time, not even managed to argue once, which is quite a miracle. The other thing was, first time last night, but it was kind of Alice, really, because I wasn't sure if I'd seen what I'd seen, but when she said about seeing the angel over there, and she described it exactly the same as I'd seen it, and the flash that went across the back of where the worship band are here. So, yeah, that's another one, you know, that obviously taking it a step further, and thanks for your word earlier as well.